I have half an hour to talk about complex numbers in C++. My name is André Bergner. I'm from Native Instruments from Berlin, Germany. For those of you who don't know us, so we build music software. So our business is sound basically, and software, of course. So complex numbers is not directly a topic, but it could be if that would be better implemented or people would know more about that. My background is also, I'm a physicist, so I worked a lot with complex numbers while studying and also doing numerical simulations, but I come to the applications in a moment. So I assume everybody in the room knows what complex numbers are, but or is there anybody who doesn't know what a complex number is? So, anyways, I prepared a quick summary. So a complex number is just a composed number of which has a real and imaginary part, or actually composed of two real values, and then there's that weird imaginary unit that fulfills that weird property that if it's squared, it's minus one, or the square root of minus one is I. And following from that property of I, we have the following algebra that basically just falls out from that property. So adding two complex numbers is like adding real and imaginary parts respectively, and multiplication is a little bit more complex or complicated operation due to the I squared. You get a minus here and a little bit strange behavior. So but still the result is again a complex number. So just as a summary, in case you didn't remember. So also just another picture. So complex numbers, usually if you draw them, you, of course, since it's a real and imaginary part, you have always this real axis and imaginary axis. So that's a complex plane, and the complex number is basically kind of a vector in that plane, which has like an absolute value and a phase or angle. So that's another way of seeing complex numbers. And then you all know that like adding and multiplying, then there are certain properties. So if you multiply two complex numbers, you multiply their absolute values and you add their angles and things like that. So, and you quickly have, depending on how it's set up, you can get rotation in the complex plane, for instance. So before I come back to that, a few words about applications. So there is a big area. So actually it's, applications are basically everywhere in any kind of engineering and scientific fields. So most obvious one is signal processing, electrical engineering. That's they are just ubiquitous. So their complex numbers are just fundamental. So every kind of process you model there, it's when you don't use, if you don't use complex numbers, it's everything gets much more complicated. Physics, of course. So like the Schrödinger equation in quantum. So the base of quantum theory is based on complex numbers. So this is like, it's just fundamental there, and in many other processes as well. Fractals, a little bit esoteric. So the Mandelbrot set, for instance, is just an iteration of a map of complex numbers, and you just measure the Lyapunov exponent, and then you get that nice picture, which is basically just a stability map of that complex equation. Then falling from that, you have like chaos theory, complex systems. So that's the field I worked in, and there you have a lot of complex numbers as well. And then also I found something like radar systems, optical systems, they use complex numbers. So it's just everywhere. And as soon as you have software and you work in maybe one of those fields, so in my case, that was like chaos theory, complex systems, physics, and now it's more or less signal processing. In the case of audio, it's pretty nice if you have, if you can deal with complex number in a streamlined and easy way. So, if you do kind of that stuff, you are usually interested in speed. So because you do numerics and you want stuff fast. So because if you do number crunching, and usually when you do number crunching, if it's really like stream processing or really throughput is important, either you do big simulations and you want to have them, of course the costs for your simulation is expensive, you want to minimize that. Or in our case, if you do audio, you want to have like, the user should be able to run as many synthesizers on his computer as possible, for instance. So there should be this should be possible. So the slower the whole thing gets, the less. So a factor of two already means you can only run twice as less applications, for instance, on one system. So there is the standard, so the, or the SDL. I'm not sure quite if it's really part of the SDL or if it's like beyond the SDL. So I don't know if it, Alex put it in or Bjarne put it in or somebody else. But there is STIT complex. So there's a little class that comes bundled with a standard library. Basically, since back in the days, at least 98. I don't know when it came in, so couldn't find anything about that. And this gives basically access to via operator overloading, so basically the classical C++ way. You have a complex number and you can deal with it in a streamlined fashion. So that's basically almost it. So usually if you do C++, many people used to do and still do Fortran because everybody says Fortran is so fast and blah, blah, blah. This is not really true to some extent. It's kind of true, but you can get, of course, the same performance with C and C++, but you have to know what you're doing. But in Fortran, a lot of stuff is just built in. So, but nowadays, of course, Fortran is, besides of number crunching, Fortran is a pretty ugly language, and so a lot of modern scientists and engineers switch to C and C++, which is basically the only alternative out there if you really want to have speed for number crunching. But then you're on your own. So C++ by default only basically brings that STIT complex, and there's val array that most of people don't know. This is like a vector that, which you can add, and then there's a numeric header and mass, and that's about it. So there's not much. So a lot of stuff is developed, like all the linear algebra, numeric stuff comes from outside, and there are many, many implementations. So it would be actually have nice to at least that the stuff that is there should be a little bit more in the standard, and this stuff should be at least working. I come to that later. So that's how you use it. So for those who didn't know that there is a complex number in the SDL, so it looks like that. So it's you just include header complex, and so even C got some complex numbers now. Or I think it's C99. As a template parameter, so you can specify float or double. In theory, it should be possible to add like also fixed point numbers there. You initialize with your real imaginary part. There's also like a function constructor that constructs a complex number from polar coordinates, so from the radius and angle which you specify, and it returns a complex number, and then you can just work with them in the mathematical way, in the convenient way, and you just multiply and add them. So all the operations are overloaded. So what can you do with it? So a nice way to create a oscillator. So really, if you need an oscillation, so you need maybe just a sine function, for instance, that would be an oscillator. This is like the fastest way you can write an oscillator in C++ using this STIT complex class. So your little oscillator class has like two complex numbers, which is one is the state and the other one is basically the update, so the speed of rotation. And then you just have your call operator, and this simply updates the state by multiplying it with the rotation and returns the real part. So in case you're only interested in the real valued oscillation. And the important part is that the polar coordinate is like the absolute value is one, and this would be the frequency. So, and the property of the complex numbers is that they start rotating, that the angles get added under the multiplication and the radius get multiplied. So the radius in that case, or the absolute value, is one. So one times whatever the other one is stays the value of the other one, and the angles just get forwarded by that amount. So this just gets added to the angle of the state. So that's why it's rotating. You see a little picture down here. Oh, sorry, that has moved a little bit. Anyway, that's to just illustrate it again. So that basically the complex number is rotating in the plane through that operation, and the real part would look basically like that. So you get the sinusoidal output. Yeah, also just for the fun of it, I add also using C++14, you don't even have to write a class anymore. You can just write a little function that returns a lambda, and using those initializers here, you can put the values right in there and have just a lambda that computes a complex number. So this is just a nice little, even more compact way to write an oscillator in C++. So that would be actually pretty neat if you could just do more math in that really compact and streamlined fashion, and just hope that it's fast. Yeah? So, Okay, it was just thing again. A bit more complicated. So another really interesting example I want to give you is the complex or complex resonator, it's sometimes called. That's basically the simplest possible way to construct a bandpass filter. So for those of you who not know so much about filter theory and band filters, bandpass filter is simply a filter that is, I mean, it's all over in engineering, that a filter that filters out all the frequencies except for a certain band of frequency range, which you can specify for the filter. Everything else gets filtered out. So it's like this typical radio effect, for instance, like old radio effect, that would be a bandpass filter. So that we know kind of how it sounds like. And the quickest way, again, is using state complex. So you would basically the same as the oscillator before. So you have your state and your rotation. And now you simply have an external state that would be your input signal. It creates the output signal. And the way it works is simply you still have the same update, but you just add the input signal. And just naturally, this is a bandpass filter. And you have perfect control over it. So because the radius kind of controls your bandwidth of your bandpass filter, and the center frequency basically controls the position in the frequency range. So this is like this one is also the nice property of that bandpass filter is also that it's very stable. So it's you can go down to very low frequencies, and you can easily modulate it because it only depends on its last state and not the second to last. Usually, if you use like those standard DSP filters, I always have the also not one history step more, and then it gets unstable under modulations, but this one returns stays stable. So this is also why it's nice to have complex numbers, because it's not only that it's more streamlined, it's also pretty, it's more stable and easier to write. So I had, now coming to the actual part, so about performance. I had a little bit more complicated problem. I was just working on some time ago, a little side project of mine, we had like a filter bank and I had a bunch of those resonators. They were coupled with each other and it was a little bit more complicated expression. So I thought, because I had other problems before where I had like a little matrix vector multiplication, and a friend of mine who's the author of Boost ODE, and I told him, yeah, I would like to use expression templates there, but he said, yeah, it should just work out of the box. And then I tried it and it worked pretty fast, but then I changed it a little bit and suddenly it was much slower, and then I used expression templates and it was fast again. So I thought, I checked that. I mean, they are simpler than just the matrix and vector, and maybe the compiler somehow knows about them. And so I just checked double checked with a handcrafted version. So that's basically, so this is the same thing again as before, almost. Okay, the numbers are a little bit different, but this is basically what the compiler should create for us. So this is how it should look like in theory. I mean, I have in the example before, I create a complex number here and then assign it. So I have two assignment operations. Now I have only one. So I have only one temporary and then the direct assignment. So there should be maybe one move less, but that's about it. So that's what I would expect from a compiler, that this version should run at all just a slightly bit slower. But what I have seen is this. So the red one is the STIT complex and the yellow one is the handcrafted version. So I actually started out at Clang originally because I always use Clang. I have a lot of templates usually in my code, and Clang is still the best when it comes to optimizing templates away. But I now, of course, while preparing all of that, I also checked with the other compilers and did some more research, how they perform and what are the problems there. So the VC14, so this all run on this machine basically. So I just sent that resonator you just saw with a whole big signal. So it was basically just Nyquist frequency, so alternating values, and just measured the time. So the time is plotted in milliseconds, and of course that's averaged over many, many runs. So the interesting thing is now GCC, the handcrafted version is still, I mean, this is kind of the gap I would have expected, maybe a little bit less. But in Clang, it's almost a factor of three. And also VC14 is still slower compared to Clang. So I don't know which, so it was run via Wine. So I don't know which kind of overhead. In theory, Wine is not an emulator, so it should be as fast. So it should just wrap the calls to the Win API, but I don't know. So there might be some overhead, but in my experience, it's anyway that I haven't seen the Microsoft compiler performing very well on performing numerical things, so it usually has a lot of more memory transfer operations than required, and especially on recursive operations like those one here. So doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if it's really as fast as Clang or GCC. Or it would surprise me if it would be as fast. So, but yeah, there's a big gap. So what I did originally, I did, okay, I always wanted to do a little bit more with expression templates. Instead of looking into the details, because I thought, oh, they must have done it right, and it's probably the expression template problem that the compiler just cannot optimize it. So who has worked with expression templates? Okay, so already half of this. So just to give you a quick summary of that, or recap. So expression templates is a technique, a very common technique, especially if you're doing numeric stuff. So if you want to have fast, or if you're building a domain-specific language, so if you want to embed a custom language in your code that does computations at compile time. So it's one of those hardcore meta programming techniques. And the core idea, especially, I mean, it was, I think, originally also invented for like linear algebra somewhere in the 90s. So the core idea is that instead of computing, so the idea is you don't compute your result eagerly, you compute everything lazy. So all the operations are overloaded, and instead of returning the result immediately, they return a proxy object that encapsulates the operation and a reference to the operand. So if you call the multiplication operator, you don't compute the result, you just return a proxy to the operation and the arguments. And then if you put that together with the next operation, you have a proxy to a proxy that has all the arguments and operations. And it can get very complicated if you have big expressions. And then there are kind of a lot of metaprogramming techniques to speed this whole thing up, to prune the tree and then filter that and all kind of stuff. Basically, it's a technique to help the compiler streamlining operations, so especially getting rid of temporary variables and also like getting rid of unrolling for loops or just having one for loop instead of many and so on. So for linear algebra, it usually still gives you a lot of performance. For that, I wouldn't have expected that the performance is much better actually. So just a quick sketch of how that looks like for those who don't know. So the core idea is you overload your operator star for your left and right hand side. So that would be your complex numbers, for instance. And now instead of returning the result immediately, you return a expression that encapsulates a tag or policy that describes the operation, and then the left and right hand types, and it stores the references to the type, so that the expression could be as simple as that. It's just holding the references, and then you need those three things. You need the evaluation of the expression, which calls the operator on the evaluated left and right hand side, and then you have a fallback for non-expressions, which just is the identity function. And then your multiplication would, for instance, look like that. So that's has a member function apply, whatever you call it. So apply is called here. So this is that apply, which returns the actual multiplication. So, and you stick that all together in this, you would overload your assignment operator of your complex number type so that it actually, the assignment would then call the eval, and the eval would just go down the tree of operations. So because eval calls eval in each of the left and right hand side, so if those are numbers, it's just numbers. But if left or right hand side is an expression again, it will call the eval of that expression and so on until you reach the leaves, and then you, in the end, you get the full result. So this usually makes it for the compiler easier to speed up the computation. Just for the sake of it, I also thought, okay, I looked in the headers, but I didn't scan really in detail. Usually they do a lot of stuff in the headers, so it's hard to see what actually is happening sometimes. So I thought, okay, just let's make a really simple, naive, so I call it naive implementation, which would be the straightforward, eagerly evaluating implementation. So that means I have a complex number, of course, I mean, it's trivial, so you have your real and imaginary part. Some member function to access them, and then you have, for instance, again, the multiplication operator would look like that. You just implement the algebra of complex numbers, so real part, and you just compute them. So now, measuring those results, it looks like this. So this is also this is very interesting. So obviously, in the case of the Microsoft compiler, expression templates help really the compiler. So this is The greenish one is the naive implementation, which is still a little bit faster than the one from the Stip complex for some reason. And the expression template version is almost twice as fast, or two-thirds maybe. And it's basically on par with the handcrafted version, at least for the Microsoft compiler. The expression templates really help. And to speed up the optimization for the compiler, and of course still, I mean, the obvious thing is that the Stip complex, and it's pretty slow. And Clang basically, as expected, would be the expression template and naive implementation. They are basically same speed, so there's no difference, but still both are slower than the handcrafted version. So it's still the handcrafted, it cannot, the compiler doesn't quite get this performance of the handcrafted version. Interesting, though, at least the Clang and the GCC handcrafted version, they are same speed, so at least though these are identical. So you can get the speed of GCC with Clang, but you have to basically write it out. So you don't can use abstraction, but we are using C++ because we want abstraction, so compilers should get better in that. And even expression templates. Maybe I thought about even overloading the assignment itself so that you have a ternary operator and then you could like the trick I was doing with a temporary variable, something like that. Maybe there are some, I could assume that you can write some custom kernels for your expressions that maybe get to the speed, but I mean then you start really a lot of engineering for actually very simple problems. So compilers should be able to do that, and you basically, coming to the next slide, you will see that actually compilers can do that, but only GCC has still again the best performance. So basically it's always the case from my experience that if you want performance and you have the choice to choose a particular compiler and platform, always use GCC because it's still the best. So you see it in that case. But of course you still see that gap here. So I also looked a little bit in the assembly output. So this is the assembly output of GCC. Left-hand side is Stip complex and right-hand side is handcrafted. So it's basically the same amount of operations, but if you look at the details, you have just plain assembly instructions, and here is hidden one little call to some mool DC3. So this is like really, that is basically the reason why, at least also in the GCC case, it's slower. If you look at Stip complex from Clang, it's basically similar thing. So this is basically your for loop now. Just a bunch of operations, and here inside there's also again a little call. And now this is really insane. So that function that gets called is this function. What is it doing? That's the header. So that's from the header. So that's from the standard header. So this is operator star. Operator star in the header, and you see it's like creating a lot of temporaries, and then it's checking, branching a lot. So if is none, and left end or right end side or both, and then is infinite, and copy sign is none again, copy sign again.
So is this just checks for corner cases?
It's really
full IEEE compliance.
Exactly. So that's what I found out. So it's full IEEE compliance. And for instance, and I was also searching a little bit in the web, so for instance, Fortran doesn't do that, so then people were comparing like C++ with Fortran, and then, Fortran is much faster, and blah, 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 but the point is that Fortran is not IEEE compliant, so they just do it as you would do it. I mean, I don't actually know about the background of that, so, I mean, in reality, from what I am looking, I can see there, if my number is really infinite or not a number, I mean, I'm screwed anyways, and I don't care about if there's a sign is still correct or whatever that thing is doing. So I just want the result. So I mean, I have to take care myself. And also this is not in the idea of C++, so that I don't pay for stuff I don't want. So this is really not C++ mindset, if you program it like that. Just a quick summary of what I found in GCC. So this little call in GCC basically was a call to a function from the library of GCC, which is doing the same. So then I found out that there is a little option in GCC which you can enable, which is called fast math. But only GCC has this option. And actually, if you enable that, you get same performance for all of the implementations. So Yeah, just one moment. And so GCC fast is basically now whatever you do, state complex, naive, expression template, handcrafted, it's all the same. So GCC is still the one that can reach the perfect speed. And so GCC without mass, we've seen before, and the others is like before. So there's not such an option, but just to get an overview of the comparison. So yeah, your question. Okay.
Yeah.
I would have checked that if I had it. So I, when I was working on
but
Linux,
slow.
Yeah.
It's the Intel compiler.
Okay.
In standard C, there is actually an option, language level option, which disables overflow checks for all.
Yeah. The point is, it's not. I mean, this is. It is kind of known. It's what? 14. Okay, yeah. So the question was, or the remark was that there is a option in C that you can disable and enable that option by default, and Intel compiler has it enabled by default. So, but the point is, first of all, it's not really documented, and it's also not you don't have that option in the compiler. I mean, some do it, some don't. So it's you really have to pray and hope that it works and. Plus the overhead of, if you enable it, the handcrafted version should be basically on par with the naive version or the expression template version should be on par with the handcrafted. But we don't get that speed, unfortunately. So, okay, now basically my conclusions. So standard library is not streamlined for number crunching code. So. You can do that, but usually you have to do it on your own. So for Clang, there is no such option. I also from the code, you see there was no ifdef or anything. And basically, if you're using complex numbers on Clang, don't use that complex. So if you want speed, forget it. So this is like not usable. GCC, if you have GCC, use FastMath as a compiler flag, then you get pretty much really the best performance you can get. Of course, you can always do this. The next step would be doing simplifying the whole thing, but I mean, I didn't want to look into that. This makes everything just more complicated and platform dependent. And so in general, also GCC still produces the best code, especially if you enable that compiler flag. And yeah, for cross-platform, basically you do write your own class. So because and probably even using expression templates, because as we have seen, Microsoft compiler still benefits from expression templates. In general, I would say the standard should be extended there a little bit, so you don't pay for what you don't use. So STIT complex should get like a little policy that you can specify use IEEE compliance or not, and then you enable it and it should be disabled by default. So just my point for that. And yeah, that's basically it. So thank you. More questions?
So the expression templates, I didn't see where you were actually taking advantage of the power of them.
I didn't show that. It's the question was he didn't see where I took the advantage of the power of expression template. I mean, what I showed was just a snippet of how you would implement it, and my implementation is like many, many pages long. So also I had a Boost Proto version, and then I had a handcrafted version in order just to see how that. So my handcrafted expression templates were slightly faster than the Proto version, but basically both were kind of performing the same. But I didn't show that, so this is really just, if you're interested, I can give you the code. But
well, can you give us a summary of what operations you combined that you got the efficiency, or believe you got the efficiency from?
What I did is more or less a naive implementation of the expression template. So I didn't do any, computing the real at once. So in the end, I call real, and then it computes the real part of the whole full expression in one step, and then imaginary in one step, instead of having all those intermediate real and imaginary parts in between. So that's the main difference there. Yeah. Another question? Okay, then let's. Ah.
I guess I would kind of expect then that the expression template isn't buying you anything, since you're doing multiplies, you have to. slides anyway, right? So if you were just doing like real of A plus B, then especially template could say, why do we even need this?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So the question or the remark was that it actually doesn't bring much in that example. For that example, actually, the difference wasn't that great, but I didn't put it up. Maybe I find that somewhere, my numbers, summary. So they actually had another test where I had a much more complicated expression. And so this is like the second row, this is like the expression template column. And there you see like for depending on the compiler, you see actually a lot of benefit also for expression templates. So twice as speed or even 7 times the speed or 2 times. So if the expression gets even really more complicated, so this was a really complicated expression there, which I was testing, and that then you get more benefit from the expression template.
And your handcrafted one, what did you do to try and be better than what was implemented in
the
standard?
So the question was, for what did I try to be better? And handcrafted was just really, as a benchmark, was just a comparison. So I hope the compiler should be as efficient as the handcrafted. That's it, basically. So there I didn't try to improve anything.
Assembly instructions? Or?
No, I didn't use any assembly. It was the handcrafted, basically, is the C version, kind of. So how if you don't have any kind of abstraction mechanisms in the language, you would write it that way, basically. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. One last question, maybe. Okay.
When you were doing these benchmarks, like, what was your general setup? Because you went to the talk yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I didn't measure the variance and all, compared all that kind of stuff. I just did a lot of, at least I bootstrapped the test. So I was just running the first and the second and the fourth. I was like building a collection of all the tests, and I was bootstrapping them, and then I run them in different order and collecting the results, and then I computed the median, the mean from that. Yeah.
I was just wondering if you ran the same test multiple times.
No, I changed. I changed it. It was randomly chosen, at least to get a little bit better statistics there. So I would say then making space for the second speaker. Thank you.